Okay, the first reading is from Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through 14. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Human, can these bones live?" I answered, "Oh, Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I had been commanded, and as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and the skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. And he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, human, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live.' I prophesied as he commanded, and the breath came to them, and they lived and stood on their feet, the vast multitude. Then he said to me, 'Human, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up, and our hope was lost, and we are cut off completely. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when open your graves, and I bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place on you your own soil, and then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord." Word of God, word of life. Second reading is from Romans chapter 8, verses 6 through 11. To set the mind on human flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit in them who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then who raised Christ from the dead will give you life to your human bodies, also through the Spirit that dwells in you. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the reading of the gospel.
John 11, 17 through 45. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jewish people had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. And when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. All those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. And the Jewish people who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the people who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jewish people said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" And then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. And Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he had been laid here for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jewish, therefore, who had come with Mary, had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. I believe in miracles. I do. They may look a little different, feel a little different than what I expected, but I believe in them. About a year ago, I was in Berkeley, California, and I was working at Kaiser Hospital as a chaplain, and I met with a family who had requested pastoral care. The couple's non-responsive 22-year-old daughter, we'll call her Rosa for privacy purposes, she had been hospitalized for multiple organ failure, respiratory distress syndrome, and pneumonia due to COVID-19 complications. 22 years old. The hospital staff in intensive care were determined to keep her alive. Determined. Each morning we would walk the floor, go through rounds, and listen to the updates and her goals. Unfortunately, she went downhill. Her parents and siblings prayed for a miracle. The family came many, many times to the hospital. And over a month had gone by without significant change. The day came when the doctors said, "We can do no more." And her family and I gathered at her bedside to say goodbye. I'd like to take a moment to affirm every body in this space and welcome it to sacred space. So settle into your seat. put 2 feet on the floor and take some slow, deep breaths. Close your eyes if you'd like. I'm going to read a body blessing that I've modified. It was written by Iyanla Venzant. And I want you just to concentrate on how your body feels and the breath that enters your nostrils and out. Dear God, bless our bodies today. Shower every part of us with the strength of your love. Fill every muscle, every tissue, every cell, every organ, and every system within our bodies with divine radiance and health. Bless every part of us with divine strength and wholeness. Fill every part of us with divine light that will restore divine order to every part of our bodies. Strengthen our arms and our legs. Strengthen our hands and our feet. Strengthen our heart and all the systems supported by it. Let the healing power of your strength flow through us to correct and eliminate all imbalance, disease, and disharmony. Bless our bodies with divine love and health. Bless our bodies with acceptance of self. Bless our bodies with affirmation from others. Amen. When you're ready, open your eyes. In the Gospel of John and in the Hebrew text of the prophet Ezekiel, bodies are the topic of discussion. I thought this was very curious. So, I thought about the word body a lot. There are bodies of water. There's the body of Christ, the distribution of the body, the church body, bodies of power, mystical bodies, corporate bodies. We use the word body in such interesting ways. I have a physical body. You all have physical bodies. And if you look around the room, everyone has a body. And yet we're all part of the same body, body of Christ. So in our story today, the body of Lazarus is raised from the dead, and the dry bones come to life with the breath of the Holy Spirit. Both of these stories have miracles in them. There are miracles. Lazarus' physical body is restored, and then the spiritual body of the exiled in Israel is restored. And people like Rosa's family continue to pray for miracles every day. In our first story in Ezekiel was the son of a priest, lived approximately 592 to 572 BC. He was training to be a priest when he was taken captive. And at 30 years old, he was called to be a prophet of the Lord to the exiles in Babylon. Being in exile is a form of punishment, and people who are exiled must leave their home. Sometimes that means an internal exile, forced to settle within your own country or country of residence, and then other times it's external exile, and that includes deportation outside one's country. When an entire people, like the Israelites, or ethnic populations, any ethnic population is forced to leave their traditional homeland, it's called diaspora. So life for the exiles during the time of Ezekiel wasn't exactly like you would imagine a prison to be, because they built their homes. They farmed, produced crops, they worshiped, maintained families, and even had communication outside their exile back to loved ones. I'm saying this because there is a long history, human history, and United States history with exile, internal exiles and deportation exiles. And while people in those places are able to maintain a living, earn money, build homes, worship, it's not the same as being in your homeland with your home, inside with your family of generations. In the United States, I can think of a couple concentration camps during World War II, an internal exile of Japanese Americans and immigrants, an internal exile of countless Native American tribes that were exiled from one place to another place. And then I think about this one, because I think about the Trevor Project, and I know I've talked about them before. Families, individual families who exile LGBTQIA youth for coming out, and they're put out on the street. They're no longer welcome. People of color in the United States have experienced internal exile. Immigrants have been deported. And what is it that makes that community thrive again? What is it that brings those dry bones back to life? Ezekiel's vision of the Valley of the Dry Bones coming to life. In this vision, God shows Ezekiel a community that is oppressed, barely living, and needing hope. God tells him to go and prophesy to Israel. Let them know that I am with them. I am the Lord. The community is not alone. And through Ezekiel is an ally. The exiled people of Israel begin to hope and begin to live again. After Ezekiel prophesies, and he sees those dry bones coming to life and knocking together, God comes back and says, go tell him that the Spirit's going to move and the Spirit's going to come in. And what does it mean to live in spirit? The Spirit of God dwells in you. And the Spirit of God was in Ezekiel prophesying to the Israelites when they are exiled and when they are brought back to life with the breath of God. So living in the Holy Spirit with the breath of God, being caring and loving, I want to go back to Rose's family, how that worked out. The day Rose's family and I gathered on her bedside for our final goodbyes was, I was on my own without a Spanish translator that day. I met the family at her bedside, and this family and I were not going to give up on Rosa. In solidarity, the family and I, Dad was taking the lead, raised our voices, raised our arms, our hands in anguish and love, hope and desire for God in Spanish. My Spanish speaking and understanding is very limited, but nevertheless, our voices rose that day in sorrowful cries, in echoing demands for her life. It permeated the floor, it's the second floor. And after 20 minutes or so, after about 20 minutes, tears streamed down not just our faces, but the nurses' faces, the doctors' faces, the family's faces. The name of Jesus was declared authority in that space, transcending all hope, all hopelessness, and we surrendered to what was with Rosa and her body. Death became an extraordinary way to love in reconciliation and in resurrection. I was watching a trans documentary the other day. I watched The Outlist. I've watched it like 3 or 4 times, and I watch it just for uplifting. When I feel really down, I watch it because it brings me hope and it brings me back to life, much like the way many of you do here. I was watching this documentary called The Trans List, and this quote stuck out for me by Janet Mock. Quote, "We are a constellation of experiences, expressions, and identities. Ours is a mesmerizing constellation, so vast it can't be contained, so plentiful it can't be denied, and so brilliant it shines through the dark." End quote. Later that day in that hospital room with Rosa and her family, I hugged and I prayed through our sorrow and through our tears as their daughter's body surrendered to death. And on that day, in room 13, death was extraordinary. In the same time of Ezekiel, bringing dry bones back to life was extraordinary. Then John, Jesus weeping with loved ones and raising Lazarus to life was extraordinary. The love of God in communities like this, like Ezekiel's community, they are the ones that bring us back to life in spirit with God. They build, they sustain us. We have allies. We protect each other. And we feed each other. And so on this day, when we talk about bodies and we talk about raising people from dead to life, we are talking about living in the Holy Spirit, the breath of God that flows through you and through me. So be caring, be loving, and be an ally in the very spirit that God raised Jesus from the dead. Pray with each other. Weep together. Be in joy together. And sustain one another, bringing all of our dry bones back to life. Amen.